Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Season Keepers, the show where the only two people we recommend keeping for the season is us. My name's Matt, aka Clean Sheet Wipeout.
My name's James, aka FPL Drug.
Good to see you, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Busy weekend. I've been moving flat, so I've not been able to see any of today's games. I've still got my thoughts on them, though.
I'm guessing you've also packed your light as well, because you're a little bit dark for the YouTube, but we'll deal with it.
No, a little bit dark, but I'll find my right spot eventually.
Absolutely. And just for one for the listeners, we're pre-recording on Sunday evening after the Arsenal-Chelsea game, because James is not only moving house, but he's off on his hollybobs. So we'll probably do a prediction for the West Ham-Leicester game. But by the time you listen to this, it would have finished. So you can have a laugh at that. But yeah, I think we should just get straight into it then, James. So first things first, Saturday afternoon, it was Liverpool 2, Burnley 0.
Yeah, a great game. Burnley actually started fairly well. What was surprising was they actually kind of had a go at Liverpool a little bit. They didn't just sort of sit back. I know like Klopp again criticised them, said they were like playing rugby or whatever he said. He's basically criticised them for being a bit brutal in challenges, but I think they were doing quite a good job on Liverpool. Yeah. And yeah, looked threatening going forward. They had a couple of chances. Obviously, it's a shame to see Mo Salah's goal ruled out for offside.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Wasn't much in it. Obviously, definitely wouldn't have been given last season, but I thought maybe they might have given this one, but I guess there was enough of it to be offside for it to be called offside. But again, it's good to see him putting those sort of chances away. Just a shame he didn't get another one in the game.
Yeah, agreed. It's one of those, I think, because the lines weren't touching on VAR, they still gave it as an offside. But I think James from Planet FPL made a great point that those of us that own the likes of Trent, Tsimikas and Salah probably would have been very happy with Salah captaincy and 29 points, I think it was, from the three players, because both assists came from both fullbacks. Tsimikas and Trent got one apiece.
Yeah, I find it a bit hard to believe that people are kind of moaning about that, because myself, I've just got Salah and Van Dijk, so that's a lot less points than that trio. So yeah, I'd have been delighted with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I was over the moon, and obviously we saw that Robbo was on the bench for Liverpool this weekend, so I'm fully expecting him to probably come in and start against Chelsea next weekend. But it was a nice kind of parting gift from Tsimikas, you know, a really tidy assist, to be fair, and Jota took his header brilliantly well. And then obviously Mane, after having a couple of chances during the game, eventually got his goal. So he's now, you know, the final one of that front four that's got a goal in the first two games.
Yeah, I've been very impressed with Tsimikas. I feel like it wouldn't be a terrible thing if he was to keep his place for the next game. But however, I think he will put Robertson back in the side. Yeah. But yeah, he's shown what he can do. He's got quite a decent delivery.
It's squad player. Exactly, that's what I mean. It's something that Liverpool have lacked, haven't they? Depth. And to have Tsimikas there for when Robertson's out, he's a good player. He's returned, and the only reason I expect Robertson to come back in is probably for experience, given how good Chelsea are. Right, moving on then to the second game of the weekend, and it was probably a far better result than their first one. It was Aston Villa 2, Newcastle 0.
Yeah, we said they needed to sort of bounce back from that, and maybe we'd see a reaction, and I think we did. Obviously, a very, very good goal for Mings, sort of flicked on by Mings, and then, really powerful overhead kick, just great finish. And what was a bit of a shock, obviously, was to see, a bit of disappointment to see El Ghazi on the pens.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think he's yet to miss one for Villa, to be fair to him.
100% record, five out of five.
Exactly. But yeah, obviously, as an Ings owner, we're used to kind of seeing him probably step up for Saints. You know, occasionally it would be Prowsey, but usually it was Danny Ings if he was on the pitch. So it looks like when El Ghazi's playing, that those pens are his. However, what will be interesting is when Watkins is back, I probably expect El Ghazi to maybe drop out, and it'll be Watkins, Buendia and Bailey probably in behindings. So will he take pens then? I guess that's something we've got to wait and see. But the other player you mentioned there, and I thought had a really good game, obviously picked up 3 bonus, 2 fantasy football assists. It was Tyrone Mings.
Yeah, very good game. Solid at the back, obviously also providing a threat and setting up goals going forward. So there's not much more you can sort of ask for him than that. I think anyone who has him in FBL will be delighted with his return. I think I saw him first on someone's bench. I think that was it's a pretty painful one.
Yeah, I think he's been first on a few benches, and I've seen quite a few people bench him in draft as well. But yeah, coming up with 15 points there, it's one hell of a return. As for Newcastle, I think Callum Wilson owners in particular will be disappointed. Obviously, we saw him go through one-on-one with Martinez. Didn't even test him, put it wide. And that's not something you often associate with Wilson. You know, usually he's sharp and will take those chances. So I think, yeah, once that went wide, it almost looked like it wasn't going to be Newcastle's day.
Yeah, I thought maybe Newcastle might offer a bit more in this game based on their performance against West Ham and the fact that Villa obviously just got beaten by Watford. I thought maybe there's a chance for Wilson to get one or two goals. Yeah. But yeah, they disappointed, really.
Yeah, definitely. All right, moving on then. In a game, to be fair, that had a few chances, but there probably isn't that much to talk about. It was Crystal Palace 0, Brentford 0.
No, yeah, I don't think there's much talking points for this game. Obviously, people are already starting to kind of lose faith in Tony after 2 games. I mean, 2 games and 6.5 million. I think there's more important things to maybe be changing in your team.
Agreed.
However, obviously, people are kind of getting a bit excited for DCL. Last week it was Ings. This week it was it's DCL that people are talking about. And obviously, then they're looking to perhaps use funds from elsewhere to facilitate an upgrade on Tony. But again, I think it's a bit premature. I know Brentford's fixtures now get a bit more difficult.
They do,
but
yeah.
I'm going to be sticking with him for at least a couple more games.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you started with Tony, I mean, what was the initial, you know, kind of expectation of him? Because he started against Arsenal, you know, for me, yeah, I know Arsenal aren't great at the moment, but I don't think he was ever going to hole there. Yeah, you might have expected, you know, a return against Crystal Palace, but like you say, they've still got Villa, Brighton and Wolves in the next 3. Then they really turn. It's Liverpool, West Ham, Chelsea, Leicester after that. If he's not returned by, say, you know, after that Wolves game, then yeah, you might rightly want to look to move him on. But I think 2 games in is probably pretty soon to be turning him away. And the only other player I really want to mention, again, I thought I had a really good game from the highlights I've seen, was Mbeumo. Obviously up top again with him, and he hit the crossbar at one point. He's just so cheap. So, you know, if you do want a bit of a reshuffle, looking to maybe get the likes of Lukaku, DCL, Mbeumo might be someone that you might want to target in midfield.
Yeah, good shout.
Right, moving on then to the 4th game, and one hell of a game, to be fair. It was Leeds 2, Everton 2.
Yeah, bit of a thriller. A bit hard to call in terms pre-match in terms of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Decent return for Bamford. Obviously, got an assist, slid Klitsch through.
Yeah, lovely assist.
Yeah, nicely finished off. Leeds on the whole were a lot better in this game than they were previously against Man United, obviously. Meslier getting 6 saves.
If it wasn't for Meslier, DCL would have had a hat trick in this game.
It was a decent game. Decore getting another turn, which is a bit of a surprise. Obviously scored last game, now got an assist. Perhaps he's a differential sliding under the radar. I mean, he's 5.5 as well, same price as Mbeumo. Obviously not out of position, but he's getting the returns.
Yeah, we'll talk on the 5.5s, obviously. Yeah, Decore is 5.5, but the player that impressed me the most that I think has gone under the radar so far, Damari Gray at 5.5. I thought he had a really good game from the highlights I've seen. Obviously, got a goal. Just looked sharp, like coming in from the left and the right. Could have easily had at least another 1 or 2 assists. You know, had DCL managed to take some of his chances. And at the moment, he's only 0.7% owned. So the likes of, Damari Gray, he's played 82 minutes in both games. So he's starting. And I think Benitez trusts him. So I think he's definitely one to watch if you're looking for a bit of a budget midfield enabler. And Everton's fixtures, they're pretty decent, to be fair, probably all the way through to game week 11 when they play Tottenham and then Man City and then Liverpool, I think, 2 weeks after that. But up until that, I think Everton are definitely worth targeting. And Damari Gray is firmly on my watch list.
Yeah, that's a decent shout. I think they've got a few sort of cheap mids that are worth looking at. I think even Townsend got a return last weekend. So all around that kind of 5.5 million price bracket, yeah, it's worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, agreed, because they just seem to be proactively trying to get balls into the box, obviously for DCL. In the likes of Damari Gray, they've got pace, they can get in behind. So yeah, I'm quite excited by this Everton team. And as for Leeds, I think the other player to note, obviously, that finally returned was Rafinha. Lovely finish after a really poor finish against Man United last week, which most would have expected him to slot away. But yeah, he got his return, and for me, still bargain of the season, 6.5 million for Rafinha. I think he's going to haul often or not in this Leeds team, and their fixtures are really comfortable, other than that Liverpool game, all the way through to game week 11. So I think, yeah, for me, Rafinha is one that's going to return consistently probably between now and then.
Yeah, agreed.
Moving on to a game that we all expected to be an absolute drumming, and a drumming it was. It was Man City 5, Norwich 0.
Yeah, it was. Team selection was a bit unexpected. Mahrez obviously on the bench, but owners still reap the rewards. He came off the bench and obviously scored. Maybe that means he'll start at Arsenal. We don't. Maybe we won't. We don't really know.
It's Pep after all, isn't
Yeah, obviously, Grealish got his first goal. He didn't really know too much about it. Kind of just it hit him and went
it
in.
did. That's the perfect way to sum it up. It hit him. He didn't touch it. It hit him.
It literally hit him. But I think he'll take that. I guess it's got him off the mark. But yeah,
Agreed.
very convincing performance for City. But on the Norwich side of things, I think they obviously doesn't look good, but fixtures have been tough so far. So I don't think they can be too disheartened. They just need to try and keep their spirits up.
Yeah, that's the thing for Norwich. Like, I fully expect them to be 20th come the end of the season. It just looked like Man City didn't even have to go into like fourth gear, let alone fifth gear, to press forward. I think a lot of pundits were praising City for being back, but for me, I think Norwich made it easy. Particularly like the Mahrez goal, for instance. It was basically the parting of the seas at the back there. Mahrez, plenty of space. The player that I was really impressed with and surprised to see the position that he was playing in was Jesus. He didn't play through the middle. He played right wing with Torres still playing through the middle, and he managed to get two assists from that position. And from the highlights I've seen, is he had a really good game. Obviously started, got the full 90 minutes, and it's perhaps an option that Pep is obviously considering. And the Kane saga is still carrying on, but if they don't get Harry Kane, it proves that they've got options to kind of rotate amongst that front three. And Jesus doesn't have to play through the middle. He's proven in this game he can enjoy himself out wide.
Yeah, and he's obviously pretty cheap as well. He's only, what, 0.5 million more than, say, Patrick Bamford. He's at 8.5 million.
8.5, yeah.
For a City attacker, that's pretty cheap.
It really is, yeah. And then obviously both centre backs in the game got returns. Emerick Laporte got a goal. Ruben Dias got his assist. I'm still expecting John Stones to come in for Laporte when he's, fit and firing a go, but Laporte's there as an option. And providing he doesn't get sold in the transfer window, it's competition, or at least cover there for, Stones and Dias, which Man City, they're not short of cover, are
No, not at all.
they? Right, moving on to the final game on the Saturday, in a game I actually managed to sit down and watch after a family barbecue. It was Brighton 2, Watford 0.
Yeah, but a very good performance from Brighton. Another game for Duffy. A goal for Duffy. header. He's obviously very good in the air. We know that from previous FPL seasons. But yeah, obviously four million. That's a steal.
Yeah.
To be getting a goal and a clean sheet for that. I mean, I doubt many are on him. But it's one for us to monitor.
6.7% of the game at the moment. To be fair,
that's quite high.
Mm. Yeah, more than I thought he'd be. And I guess the decision will still rumble on as to whether he keeps his place, because obviously Veltman missed out again. But surely Duffy is putting pressure on Potter to say, look, like, I deserve to be part of this back three, so find a way to fit me in, because I think Duffy, Dunk and Webster looked comfortable as a back three in this game. The question would be, you know, where does Veltman slot in? Does he go wide left, you know, and then you've got the issue, I think it was Solly March was playing there, and then Gross was on the other side. So there are definitely decisions to be made in that Brighton back line. But it was good to see them looking a lot more solid in this game. I don't think Watford caused them too many problems. They kept Ismaïla Sarr relatively quiet in the game, which I think paid dividends. And yeah, I think Neil Mopay took his goal very well. However, he did go off injured in the start of the second half. It looked like it was a shoulder injury. So one to keep an eye on there, because I know that there's a few people on him. I think he's only owned by 3% of the game, so not a lot. But I have seen a few on Twitter gambled with him at the start of the season. And yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on to see what Potter says. But I wouldn't read too much into it after watching it on the basis of Watford. You know, they had a very good first game against Villa, looked lively, but Brighton just seemed to find a way of keeping them at bay. But if you're on the likes of Sarr, I wouldn't be moving them on just yet, because as quite a few of these teams that we're speaking about at the moment, their fixtures still look relatively good for at least the next 3 or 4 weeks. So yeah, it's not the time to be making rash decisions, in my opinion.
No, I think a lot of the community didn't even make a transfer this week.
No, yeah, there was a lot of rolling, that's for sure. All right then, moving on to the games today. And first things first, I managed to get to St Mary's, which was so good. It's been so long, but there was a lot of issues getting into the ground. Saints have actually announced that they're going to refund everybody that was at the game today, because the scanners just weren't working for half of the people. There was a lot of people got delayed coming into the game. So for me, I was quite lucky I got in. We got there early, but there was loads of empty seats coming 2-3 minutes before kickoff. So yeah, they made an announcement at halftime. So I thought that was good of the club, to be fair. First game back, it's not the experience we wanted, but it was definitely a result we would have all taken before the game. It was Southampton 1, Man United 1.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't see this coming. We were obviously very doom and gloom before the game. And to get a point is amazing. I'd have even probably been surprised if we got a narrow defeat. So yeah, very happy with the draw. Fantastic result. Obviously, you were there.
Yeah.
Best for you to describe.
it was great. I mean, for those that listened to Clash of the Correspondents during the week with Planet FPL, I was, yeah, very doom and gloom about our prospects in this game. I think I predicted 3-1 Man United, you know, comfortable again. And when I saw the lineup was unchanged from the Everton game, I was even more worried, because for me, you know, Jack Stevens wasn't particularly great against Everton. I thought Gineppo occasionally was isolated, although, you know, he played relatively well. But I was just a bit concerned that the depth and experience wasn't there to deal with United. But in fairness, Jack Stevens had a really good game. And he was the one that won the ball from Bruno. You know, some people will have the opinion it was a foul. For me, I don't think it was. I'm going to say that. I'm a Saints fan. But he got stuck into Bruno. Bruno, in my opinion, didn't recover after that. He was riled. You know, obviously it led to Saints' goal. It was fortunate, to be fair. I think Adam struck it. It came off of Fred. Completely wrong-footed De Gea. Went bottom corner. And yeah, we were kind of getting into United. And it's what we kind of spoke about on the Clash of the Correspondents, that the only way I think we would stifle this United team was getting stuck in. And Romeu, Prowse all had brilliant games. But for me, once again, standout man was Tino Livramento. He was unbelievable. Just the positioning of that young lad and the tenacity to get forward. He's brilliant. Like, it's great to watch. and I can definitely see why Chelsea have got a buyback clause on him, because I don't expect Kyle Walker-Peters to be taking that right back slot anytime soon. And in fact, during the game, I think 15 minutes to the end, Hasenhüttl actually took off Perreault and put Walker-Peters at left back. So the option is there, obviously, for KWP to play there. I thought United had their chances. They played particularly well, but we were at no point did I think United would run away with it. And I was surprised for once at half time, Hasenhüttl actually made a tactical switch, because Pogba and Bruno in particular and Fred were getting on the ball all too often in the first half. So what he did is he actually took Walker off and brought Bednarek on and went to a back five. And the only issue, I think, for the United goal was the fact that for me, Gineppo didn't fit particularly well within that middle three. But when he took Gineppo off and brought Diallo on, you then had Diallo, Romeo, and Prowse as that three, and obviously Livramento and Perreault either side. It just stifled United. They got their goal, yes, but they never looked like they were going to go on to score another. I was really impressed with Adams and Armstrong, their little partnership. Armstrong should have scored to make it 2-1. I think he got played in by Adams, one-on-one with David De Gea, and he just hit it straight at him. It was gutting. It was at the end I was sat as well. We all thought, ah, we're through. But yeah, really, really pleased with the performance, to be fair. I thought Salisu had a really good game at centre back, someone we've both spoken about at the beginning of the season that hope would get his chance. And yeah, went from there. The only thing looking at this FPL, I have no idea how Luke Shaw got 2 bonus points. Not a clue. But
Fair enough.
yeah, nah, I think all in all, very happy Saints fan today.
Yeah, as am I. Brilliant.
Right, I think that's enough about the Saints Man United. We'll move on to a game that I've only seen the highlights of about 10 minutes ago, but it looks as though Wolves were unlucky. It was Wolves nil, Spurs one.
Yeah, I've heard they played well and did Wolves, and obviously only a penalty separating the two sides. For me, selfishly, I've owned Son, so a bit annoyed to see Dele Alli step up to take the pen. I understand he won the pen.
Yeah, he did.
So I don't know if that kind of influenced it, but people were sort of speaking about Son being the penalty taker if Kane's not on the pitch. So yeah, it's a bit of a shame. Obviously, speaking of Kane, he came on
He
in the
did.
second half,
Yeah.
which is, I guess, something for Spurs fans. Maybe he'll now start for them.
Yeah, I mean, given he played, I wouldn't be surprised, providing a deal isn't done, to see him start against Watford. But I'd like to maybe speak to some Spurs fans during the week and get their opinion, because if the rumblings are still going on and it's looking likely that he might move closer to the deadline, are you really going to want to start with him, or are you going to want to bench him again? Because one, I think, he won't want to get injured, in my opinion. But two, like, do you want to make him the focal point for one game when you know that he probably won't be against Palace? So it's a tough one, but I guess the decision is solely down to whether Daniel Levy is willing to sell to Man City. And if it's looking very unlikely, then I don't see why not. Kane can reintegrate himself back into the team and yeah, go from there.
Yeah, I mean, FPL wise, obviously 12.5 million until we're kind of certain on his future. There's no real point going near him, I think.
No, well, you say 12.5. He's 12.4 now. He took a price drop, which amazed me, because it meant that so many people had started with him, knowing that this was rumbling on, to then come off of him. And I don't get it. But yeah, down to 12.4, so we'll see. But I ain't going anywhere near him until that Man City Spurs saga's is gone on. But you were right to point out Dele Alli. A lot of people, like you said yourself, is on Son. Dele Alli, this could potentially be the season that maybe he does kick on a bit. He's played both games, full 90 minutes, only 6.5 million. So another one in and around that 6.5 million midfield price bracket. So the options are definitely there for those that may be on Emi Buendia and aren't particularly happy with the returns. You've got Rafinha, you've got Dele Alli, they're all in and around 6.5 million. So Yeah, I think Dele Alli is a wait and see, but if he continues and looks sharp, why not?
Yeah, fair shout.
Wolves, on the other hand, just briefly, should have at least had a goal. Another Adama Traore one-on-one hits it straight at Hugo Lloris, and I think Wolves fans will be disappointed. They just need to work on his finishing. We spoke about this at length in the last pod, and I think it's just going to be frustrating. It's another game in which they should be coming away with points, and they're not. But it's good to see, the link-up players there. They're getting him through. I think they just really have to drill it, and if they can't, maybe try and pick someone up in the next 9 days that can, because Jimenez needs someone like that to work with him. Otherwise, he can't do it on his own. But yeah, I fully expect Wolves to kick on under this new manager. That they've looked pretty sharp.
Yeah, they've been better than I expected, in fact. So.
Agreed. Yeah. All right. And then the final game of the Sunday, and to be fair, a very expected result with Romelu Lukaku making his debut for, or say debut, return debut for Chelsea. It was Arsenal nil, Chelsea two.
Yeah, I think apparently that's the first time he's actually scored for Chelsea.
Really?
Yeah, I'm
Oh,
pretty sure in the article I read that he hadn't actually scored for Chelsea when he was at them previously.
wow,
So,
okay.
yeah, very interesting. Obviously, great debut for him. Well, second debut. Obviously, Reece James. I mean, a goal and an assist and a clean sheet.
Eighteen
That is
points.
outstanding.
I
It's
know.
absolutely filthy. Fair play to any of you that are on him, but obviously, as we mentioned last week, it's just a bit too uncertain to put in the fullbacks. Obviously, Chilwell's still not playing. Alonso's keeping him out of the team. So those of you on Chilwell probably should hop off. But yeah, great result from Chelsea. Very much expected. Obviously, Mount getting an assist. He's pretty cheap in the game as well. I think he's 7.5.
Yeah, he is.
A very good win for Chelsea.
I was surprised by Mason Mount's ownership. Have a guess how many people in the game actually own him?
5%.
See, I thought it would be around that. 19.5% of the game own Mason Mount.
It's quite a lot.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Wow.
And yeah, he's only 7.5 million. Two assists in two games. He's looking sharp. But yeah, I couldn't believe it was almost 20%. Took me by real surprise.
Yeah, that's insane.
And I think you were right to mention Reece James. In my opinion, and I don't know if Chelsea fans agree, if you do or if you don't, slide into our DMs and let us know. But I think out of the right back and the left back slot, I think Reece James is potentially the more nailed, because I don't think the competition is there as such for his place. It seems like Aspilicueta, particularly with his age, is maybe going to be part of that back three under Tuchel. So Reece James's place in that team might be perhaps a little bit stronger than maybe the Alonso Chilwell kind of relationship you've got going on there. So it's one to keep an eye on, because for me, a lot of people, yes, are maybe going to punt on Lukaku, and we'll come on to him in a sec. But Chelsea's fixtures are tough, in my opinion. Three, four, five, and six. They've got Liverpool, Villa, Tottenham, and Man City before they really turn, and they've got a lovely run of five games that I think you're going to be wanting to target. So if Reece James is holding his place up until that point, might be, a pretty good shout to move off of maybe say Luke Shaw to Reece James, because similar price, and yeah, a nice little fixture swing for you.
Yes, fair shout. I mean, he's getting the clean sheets as well, which isn't happening for United.
Oh, exactly, and you're not going to turn down 18 points. But obviously, the man of the moment, it was the return of Lukaku. Obviously, back in the Premier League, he's looking sharp. He's looking built. Oh, just he's such a good player, and I think he can make a real difference for Chelsea this season. But took his goal well. In fairness, I think Arsenal kind of made it all too easy for Reece James to get down the line, whip a ball in, and it was on a plate for Lukaku. But if it wasn't for a really good save from Leno, Lukaku could have had another one, and it could have been a haul on his debut. So, yeah, it 11.5 million. It's obviously one that we're going to want to probably be looking at again after that turn of four, five, and six. Lukaku could return in any of them, to be fair, but I don't want to turn my squad upside down just yet for him. but he's already owned by 16% of the game. And looking at the price rises at time of recording, it's looking like he might even go up in price tonight, which is a worry.
Yeah, no, I'm not particularly keen on changing my team too much to get him. So I think FPL have actually priced him quite well. I think it's not too easy to put him in your team, but if you do want him, you can get to him. Yeah, obviously their fixtures do look a little bit better, I think, from like game week 7, but maybe it would be a good move to hop on him straight away. I mean, he's obviously scored within what 15 minutes of his first game. So yeah, if it depends who you've got on your team, obviously, if you've got money up there to spend, why not?
Exactly. If you're willing to take a punt, it could be one that definitely pays off. So as we said, obviously we're recording before West Ham play Leicester tomorrow night, but I thought it might be quite fun to make a prediction anyway. So, James, what's your prediction for West Ham versus Leicester?
1-1.
Oh, nice. I'm gonna go for a Desmond Tutu. So
Yours.
we both think score draw. So I think it'd be a good game. I'm really looking forward to watching it tomorrow night. I'll sit down, watch it, and I've got Antonio and Benrahma, so hopefully they can, and I've got Barnes as well, actually. So I'm hoping goals, and fingers crossed, some tidy points to finish the week.
Very nice.
To end the pod, then, I think we'll have a quick look at captaincy options for next week, and then we'll close out and let you be on your way. So, looking at the fixtures next week, James, are there any players that stand out for you that you'd want to be putting the armband on?
Potentially Ings at home to Brentford is quite appealing. Son, obviously, at home to Watford. Any kind of Spurs player would be a good one to have for that fixture.
Agreed, particularly.
Even Bamford away at Burnley wouldn't be a terrible captain pick.
No, I think it's open. You probably Son, I think it's going to be heavily captained. Brighton obviously managed to get two against them this weekend, and I think Spurs will probably at least score one, maybe two next week at home against Watford. So Son could be the one there. I doubt, I'm not sure many are on him in terms of the FPL community on Twitter, but I think quite a few are generally. I think Jamie Vardy could have a field day against that Norwich side. And with Vardy, I think also comes potentially Harvey Barnes. I think he could also have a very good game against Norwich. But yeah, the captaincy is wide open. And even Man United last game against Wolves, for those that maybe punted on Bruno this week, are they going to go there again? Not so sure. But it's good to see that there are decisions to be made rather than, oh, actually, I say that, rather than the obvious captains that were this week and obviously Salah and Bruno. But between them, they got 4 points. So what do we know?
Yeah, I think it'd be a bit more interesting next week. I think because it is a bit boring when you've got just one player or even just two players that everyone's on.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be spread.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. So I'll let you be on your merry way then, Gems. Get your bags packed and you can off on your Ollie Bobs. And I will let the listeners be on their way too. So it's a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Cheers, guys.